Hello and welcome to episode 39 of Could It Be Podcast. We're nearly at 40 episodes. I can't believe I've been going for this long. Now, this is my first solo episode in a little while. I thought what I might do for this one is kind of wrap up all of my experience now that I've been through my explant surgery and the recovery, and from the experience from the women who I have spoken to and have shared their stories on the podcast. I thought I might do a bit of a explant bootcamp, explant 101 episode where I just sort of wrap up all of the information that we've shared in all of those episodes around the lead up to explant, speaking to your doctors, going through the surgery, how to prepare, that kind of thing. So if you're leading up to explant, hopefully this episode helps you. If you have explanted and you're listening to this and you've got some more tips, feel free to reach out to me as well. I'm more than happy for you to get in touch on the social media or on my email address. The email address and social media accounts will be listed in the show notes. This episode also lines up with some free resources that I have created for anyone who is explanting. So there is no requirement to sign up to any mailing lists or anything like that. What I've done so far, I have placed these documents, so there's two of them, into an open Google Drive folder. Again, I will pop the link to that one in the show notes. It's also on my Instagram account. So if you go onto the Instagram in the bio, I've got like a link tree. There is a button there for this Google Drive folder. So that folder, I have the explant resources that I'm going to go through today. Plus, if anyone who's been on the podcast wants to share any photos, I'm including those photos in that folder. So far I've got the photos of Julie's capsule. So Julie shared her story previously and she sent through the photos of, she had one polyurethane breast implant. So I've got a photo of the capsule from that one in that folder. So feel free to jump in there. It is open to everybody. I've also got, I don't know whether anyone would want to fill this in, but I have created a little visitors book, I guess. It's just a document in the folder. It should be open for anyone to fill in. It's just got, like, you know, any contact details. If you want to share your social media details in case you've got your story to share and you want people to jump on and follow you, any feedback or any messages that you'd like to share, please jump on and leave a little hello there if you do jump in and have a look at those resources. Now, those resources are an ever-evolving project. So again, if you've got any feedback on anything that helped you that's not in those resources, please let me know. I'll jump on, update them, and update the files that are in that folder. So obviously, in the very early episodes of the podcast, I have shared what I was doing in the lead up to my explant surgery. But yeah, I thought, like, you know, do one episode where I wrap it all up together, make it easy for anyone to access, so it's all in the one spot if you need any help with explanting. So let's start at the beginning when it comes to explanting, and a lot of information will be specific to Australia. So if you are overseas, you'll likely find a lot of information on good surgeons in the Facebook groups. In order to see your specialist, you'll need to first see your general practitioner or GP. This is where your GP could also investigate whether your surgery could potentially be covered under Medicare. So there are specific criteria that you need to meet, and I think there's certain levels of severity that you need to meet to be covered under the public system to have your surgery done. I can't find a lot of information on it. It doesn't seem to be readily available on the internet, but definitely talk to your GP about whether you meet that criteria. Otherwise, you know, all of us are very aware that you can spend thousands of dollars on this surgery, but wherever it is possible, you know, see if you can get it covered. Your GP would potentially send you off for scans. So some people will have an MRI or an ultrasound done on their breast implants to see if there are any ruptures or anything like that. Before you do see a GP though, note down your breast implant illness symptoms and do some research on surgeons with a good reputation in your area. So again, this is where those Facebook groups are really useful because women will share their honest experience with their surgeons. I would recommend noting down maybe 2 to 3 that you would like a referral to. I would also recommend around this stage, and again, this is if you are explanting in Australia, that you join Professor Davis' study on safer breast implants. I have shared the link to this one in previous episodes, but I will place it in the show notes for this episode too. So one step within this study is to get specific blood tests done. So this will give you enough time to get the referral for those particular blood tests from your GP. So you can do this before seeing your GP initially, but you know, you can always go back to them after you've, you know, booked in your explant surgery to get the referrals for those specific blood tests. At your GP appointment, they may also have some recommendations for surgeons who are able to complete explant surgery. I would recommend, if it is possible, I know there can be a wait for some surgeons, but maybe get a referral for 2 to 3 surgeons just to get multiple opinions, multiple prices, and just to see who you gel with. It's really important to be comfortable with your explanting surgeon. You may find that there is a decent wait to see some surgeons. There is more and more information out there about breast implant illness nowadays, so I have no doubt that the wait would be due to the uptake of the explant surgeries. I know this wait's frustrating, but and especially if you're anything like me, once you've made that decision, you just want it done now. But unfortunately, that's not always possible. Take this a period of time between, you know, seeing your surgeon and having the surgery as an opportunity to prepare for your surgery, which we'll go through a bit later on in the episode. So in the resources that I have created, I have included some questions that you can ask your surgeon when you do see them for your initial appointment. So firstly, will they remove as much of the capsule as possible during the surgery? So there's the options of total or partial capsulectomy or the en bloc technique. Will they send the capsules off for the appropriate lab testing? That's super important given the risks of the breast implant associated anaplastic large cell lymphoma, or BIA ALCL. Will they log your surgery with the Australian Breast Device Registry? You can actually find information on the ABDR online, and I'll include the links to that in the show notes. You'll just need to ask some general things that you would ask for any surgery. So once you've booked it in, what time do you need to stop eating and drinking before the surgery? How long you'll need drains for? Also, if you're going home from hospital with drains, what will you need to be mindful of when you do go home? How long will you need to be away from work? Just so that you can get in touch with your employer ahead of time so that they can plan for anyone that needs to cover you. What types of post-surgery bras they recommend. So some surgeons will provide a specific bra when you have your surgery. Some will recommend certain brands. Some will just say, just grab a post-surgery bra. So it's good to check that ahead of time so that you can plan on purchasing anything you need to. I have also provided my recommendations in the preparing for explant document that's in the Google Drive. Another thing that you need to check is what vitamins, medications, supplements you'll need to stop taking before surgery and how long you need to stop taking them. And one thing that's super important as well is how should you sleep post-surgery. So there's a certain angle that your surgeon would prefer that you sleep after the surgery. Check on that and check for how long. It's super important to feel comfortable with the surgeon that you use. Not only they'll be completing like a major surgery on you, but also they'll be the person that you go to with any questions after the surgery, and you'll likely see them for follow-up appointments for up to a year after your operation. So it's really good to have a good relationship with them. Some people will argue that your surgeon must believe in breast implant illness. I'm not really of that opinion. I think it's super important that they understand your concerns, that they don't brush them off, but I wouldn't write off a surgeon just because they don't openly discuss BII. So once you've decided on your surgeon, you'll hopefully have some time to prepare. And the next part of the episode goes through what myself and my guests have found helpful in the lead up to the surgery. So firstly, get healthy. And this can mean different things to different people. But what I would recommend is linking up with the appropriate professionals. So that could include, but obviously not limited to, dietitians, a naturopath, personal trainers, exercise physiologists, psychologists, psychiatrists, or mindset or NLP coaches or a counselor. So this is a big thing that you're going through, both physically and emotionally. And if you feel like you're going to struggle with any aspects of that, be proactive and get in touch with the appropriate specialist before your surgery so that you can start the process of you know, your physical or emotional healing. Next, I'd recommend eating healthy whole foods, drink plenty of water, get whatever movement in that you can. I know from my own experience that movement with BII is not easy. You know, I've mentioned in earlier episodes about the joint pain and the slow recovery from exercise and the fatigue that I experienced. So I wasn't able to do everything that I had done years before. But make the most of the good days. It doesn't have to be high intensity stuff every single session. A walk or some stretching or some yoga or Pilates will do wonders for your physical and your mental health and will help you to be healthier for your surgery. Explanting is a big decision and it can come with some big body image changes. So if you are concerned about how you will be feeling mentally and emotionally after your surgery, get in touch with whatever professional aligns with you. So as I said before, a psychologist, a mindset coach, a counselor, or even confide in a really close friend or family member. So next we're going to cover the things that you can buy in the lead up to your surgery. Hopefully your surgeon is able to provide you with some guidance on what post-surgery bras you should use. But if they haven't and you are in Australia, I purchased some from 3 stores and they were all relatively cheap. So I tried post-surgery bras from Target, Kmart and Best & Less. They all had their advantages. However, I found the ones from Best & Less to be the most comfortable. If you are buying these though, go the next size up from what you would normally wear as they're a little on the smaller side. They come with a zip up front and they have an extra piece of fabric that goes over the bottom part of the zip so that it doesn't dig into your skin. They're also a little longer than the bras from the other store, so they actually cover your scars a bit further down rather than irritating them. So I found them really great for that. You'll also want to grab like zip up or button up tops or jackets, as they are easier and more comfortable to put on rather than having items of clothing that you need to pull over your head. Some people can't put their arms up after surgery and it's just a lot easier to be able to kind of just slide them on your arms and do them up at the front. I'd also recommend making sure that anything you do get and wear is loose fitting and comfortable. Button-up pajamas are also a godsend. It does depend on how you are required to sleep after your surgery, but I'd recommend avoiding any fabric that's too slippery. I made that mistake and I wore, I think it was polyester pajamas, and I ended up sliding down my wedge pillow in the middle of the night. So grabbier fabrics like flannelette, plain cotton are great, and they help to not slide down the bed. On the topic of sleeping, your surgeon should provide you with some guidance on how you should sleep after the surgery, as I mentioned before. I'm normally a side sleeper and I've normally struggled sleeping on my back after my previous surgeries. So I purchased some wedge pillows, one for below my head and one for below my legs to mimic sleeping on my side, and I loved it. I still have those cushions now and I will take them away from me if I'm sleeping in a different mattress to what I have at home. And if you do have the time to have a few nights where you sleep on those pillows before your surgery so that you can get used to those pillows as well. Some women find they sleep well on a big pile of pillows and others have loved using the pregnancy or body pillows. You may be going home from hospital with your drains still in. So if this is the case, I'd recommend something to hold your drains. This could be ensuring that your clothing and pajamas have pockets to place the drains into, or you can actually buy drain holders. I've seen some on like Amazon and Etsy, that kind of thing. You can easily find them online for quite a good price. Some other items that you might like to buy include slide-on shoes or slippers so that you're not having to bend over and tie up laces, wet wipes or baby wipes as you may not be able to shower for a couple of days post-op, and earplugs. Hospital wards are so loud at night. Some things that you can do to make the transition home easier can include preparing some meals ahead of time and popping them into the freezer so that you only have to warm them up when you're wanting a meal. Cut out all of the loops and tags off of your clothes so that you don't get caught in them when you are getting changed. Give the house a clean and make a comfortable area for yourself for when you do get home from hospital. Have power points and remotes close by so that you can charge any devices that you might use. Get anything down from high shelves, as a lot of us, like I said before, haven't been able to reach up high after our surgeries. and organize for someone that you trust to drive you to and pick you up from the hospital, as you won't be allowed to drive for a period of time and your specialist will let you know how long you shouldn't drive for. This does include someone who can carry your hospital bags post-op and who you know and trust will drive carefully. Look into parking options at your hospital to alleviate any stress on the day. So I'd recommend doing that, you know, ahead of the surgery. Ensure that you've completed any of your admission paperwork and submitted it to the hospital. Check whether you can have visitors at the hospital, and if so, how many per day. Some hospitals may still have some restrictions around visitors. Pack your hospital bag ahead of time. Stop taking any vitamins that your surgeon has asked you to stop taking when you did ask them at your appointment. And I still think this is relevant. I do it anyway, but remove any nail polish or fake nails. So next, what to pack in that hospital bag that we just mentioned. Pajamas, post-surgery bras, your zip-up and button-up tops, slide-on shoes and slippers. I'd recommend a U-shaped pillow. This will be useful both for in-hospital and on your drive home from hospital. Baby wipes or wet wipes. Any drains bags that you have purchased to carry your drains if you go home with them in. Earplugs, books and magazines, and headphones. So things to consider on the day of the surgery include stop eating and drinking at the time specified by your surgeon. Avoid moisturizers and deodorants based on your surgeon's recommendations. I braided my hair because I have mentioned, I think before, that I have quite oily skin and my hair gets oily really quickly. So I thought if I'm not going to be able to wash my hair for a few days, it's better being out of my face. So I just braided my hair. Leave early for the hospital to avoid any stress around traffic that you may run into or if you struggle to find a car park. So some tips on coming home from hospital: make sure the person picking you up carries your bags for you. Keep a pillow on your lap on the drive home. So this is where I used the U-shaped pillow I mentioned just before. It wraps really nicely around the front of your body and almost provides a little bit of support. I've used U-shaped pillows on the way home from most of my surgeries. So when I have had the surgeries where they have cut my stomach muscles open, it's just so much more comfortable having that there and kind of holding you in almost. If you have the same experience as me, your new softer boobs will feel every bump and sharp turn. So make sure that the person driving you home takes extra care and slows down for speed bumps and spoon drains. And rest, rest, rest. After explanting, listen to your surgeon's advice around your limitations post-explant. You may end up with more energy after your surgery, but please take it easy until you're allowed to start doing the things like working out, lifting objects, reaching over your head. Detox waves and flare-ups are really common and they do look different for everybody. For me, I'd get headaches and a period of time when my symptoms came back. They were still happening, I think, around the 9-month mark for me until I saw a naturopath and worked on properly detoxing from the heavy metals in the implants. But don't be disheartened by detox waves. They are completely normal and so many people that I have spoken to have experienced them. The term fluffing up gets thrown around a little bit in the BII community and they sort of say that your breast tissue will fluff up after the surgery. The way my surgeon described it was the natural tissue is compressed over time because of the implants being in there and pushing against that breast tissue. And when the implants are removed, it allows for the natural tissue to go back to its natural state. From what I've heard, it can take anywhere up to 12 months for this to happen. You might remember from some of my earlier episodes, I had one boob that looked normal and one that was a very different shape, and that fluffed up for me after about 3 weeks. I got super hungry. I listened to my body and ate extra meals, and my other boobs kind of made a comeback. They're not perfect. They're not completely symmetrical, as Dana from Empowered Explant Podcast says. They are sisters, not twins. But yeah, do have faith that your body knows what to do and knows how to heal, and you may end up having a bit of fluffing up happening in your boobs. Things that I've found that helped with my healing. So again, check with your surgeon or your GP before commencing. But I started lymphatic drainage massage after my surgeon gave me the okay. I do dry brushing. I actually do dry brushing in my infrared sauna. So here in Adelaide, winters can get quite cold. My bathroom is quite cold because it's on the back of the house. So dry brushing just ended up being such a task because I'd be freezing. But what I do now, as soon as I jump into the sauna, I dry brush when I'm in there because it's nice and warm. And then while I'm in the sauna, obviously that does all of the detoxing for me. So it's really good. It was something that my naturopath recommended. And that takes me on to my next point. Seeing a naturopath is what helped me post-surgery. So I did have that period where I felt really great, but then I seemed to go back to having BII symptoms about 9 months post-surgery, and I just hadn't detoxed properly from having the implants. My body doesn't detox naturally very well on its own. So I saw a naturopath and she walked me through the whole process of, I'm still seeing her now, I'm still in the process of healing from some of the stuff that the implants have impacted, but I just cannot brag about them enough. They do some amazing work. I find them a really great practitioner for preventing health problems. They try to get on top of things before like a GP's blood test ranges would actually show that you have a condition. They try and get on top of that before it becomes a thing. So see a naturopath if it's something that you are interested in. So that's all for this episode. I hope it has helped you in some way if you are looking into explanting. As I mentioned at the start of the episode, feel free to access those free resources in the Google Drive folder. And if you have any useful tips or feedback, please get in touch. Thank you so much for listening, and I will see you next time. Take care. This podcast shares my own experience and research. I'm not a medical or health professional. You can find me on Instagram at couldbeiipodcast. Thank you to my incredibly talented partner, Jacob Tengdahl, for the intro and outro music. All recording, editing, and artwork is done by me. Thank you for listening.